Sonny Knight is joining me, and he and the Lakers are going to be playing tonight at the Red Herring Lounge. Doors open at 7. Show starts at 8. Big Wave Dave and the Ripples are going to be opening up. Thank you so much for joining me, Sonny.
It's my pleasure to be here, Christine.
Now, you have such a great story, and I was just, as I was listening to your first album, I was listening to the song I'm Still Here, and I think that seems like it really kind of sums up a lot for you and in your story. Like, you've been through a lot in your life, and you are having this amazing moment now, and at a time that a lot of people are winding down, you are winding up, it seems like.
Yeah, it's a different whirlwind going on here. Yeah, it's kind of funny that it came this late in life for me, but yet with the guys that I'm playing with, it's a whole lot of fun, and they kind of keep me going. And what else would I be doing? I'd be retired, sitting around.
That's right. And you started out singing pretty early in church down in Mississippi, where you grew up initially, right?
Yes, ma'am, I sure did.
Tell me about that a little bit, about the gospel music that you sang. And
well, you know, I kind of grew up, actually around my aunt's phonograph, you know, back in the day, and she had so many different gospel records, groups with records out and stuff like that, and that's where I started developing my ear and listening to that, you know, and, you know, going to church with my grandmother and, you know, listening to groups sing there at church and different things like that. And so that's kind of like how I kind of got into that. When I moved to Minnesota, then I started, developing other edges of the music, such as the rock and roll, Beatles, all the other things that came afterwards. In Mississippi, it was more or less like gospel and blues.
Okay. And you recorded something a lot, like when you were 17, a while back. And then whatever happened with that? You did a song back in the day, right?
Yeah, I think I'm thinking I must have been somewhere around about 14 or 15.
Wow.
At that point in time when I made the first 45 of my life, you know. So we did that, and then it never really amounted to anything. And then I joined the military after that, and, you know, it just went off from there.
And you've been in different groups on and off through the years. Haze, tell me about that one.
Well, Haze was a really good group to be with. I learned a lot from them guys as well. You know, I think that started in the 70s. You know, I think they were called Soul Sensation at one point in time. And I played with them for a little while before I up and moved to the East Bay of California in East Oakland. And when I got out to Oakland, I started playing with a group called Herbie Mims East Bay Band, whereas I got to meet a lot of good people, such as Larry Graham and other folks that were out there doing different things, Lenny Williams and so on. Jaunt out there in East Oakland, I moved back to Minnesota, and I joined the group again, which was then called Haze, and played with them for quite a while. We did some East Coast tours and stuff like that, and then broke up, reassembled, and finally broke up again.
And what kind of music was that?
Haze would be more or less, I would put it on the vein of Earth, Wind, and Fire. The Ohio Players kind of stuff.
Okay, so very funky.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
And then you were in a group called The Bachelors for a while, right?
Yeah, it was just me and two other guys, and we'd do, songs such as Mills Brothers, Ink Spots and Platters.
Oh, okay.
And that way, with them guys, I got even more acquainted with, harmonies and, doing different vocal things like that. With them, it would kind of started out doing a thing, playing to a CD of music, and we go to a lot of nursing homes and also down to Florida to the retirement communities there and play this type of music there. We also played for the National Veterans Creative Arts Festival because all of us was veterans. We ended up winning to get on to the show there, whereas they would have shows pretty much all around the country in different spots, Dallas, Louisville, all over Boston. And we was lucky enough to go on some of those shows, which was a great thing to play for a lot of the veterans, and kind of, regroup with guys and people that we knew from those experiences of the war.
Oh, yeah, because nobody else can understand that unless they've been there, right?
Pretty much. But I guess, any kind of traumatic experience in your life, you kind of understand what that is all about.
Right. And you're talking about the Vietnam War. You were involved in that, right?
Yes, ma'am.
Yeah. Well, thank you for your service. I always have to say that to any veteran.
It's my pleasure. My pleasure.
And so then later on, you've done kind of music on and off in your life, right? Maybe
yes.
Some periods where you were doing other things. But working with the Valdons, am I saying that right? That was kind of when you've got where you kind of the impetus for where you are now. Is that right?
Yeah. Well, two of the guys that were in the Bachelors also used to be a part of the Valdons back in the day when I was a part of Hayes. And they did some recordings and things. And Eric Foss, the drummer in the band, the Lakers, that I play with now, was putting together a compilation of the Twin Cities Funk and Soul. So he had chose the Valdons to be a part of that. Well, one of the guys that whose place I took, was not able to go and, do the show. So I ended up meeting Eric and doing the show and doing things like that with the Valdons, and that's how it all kind of came about.
So that's Eric from Secret Stash, and he said, hey, I want to work with you, right?
Yeah, I ended up in the show wearing a whole bunch of different hats, okay, I do this one with the Valdons, get off the stage, run back, change up a little bit, and then put something else on, and then go out and do something with another group that was a part of that as well. Prophets of Peace. And so when they saw that I was doing all of this, they said, well, maybe we should put a band together.
Mm-hmm.
And this is how the Lakers kind of came out and started happening.
Well, so tell me about the Lakers. What a tight band, and it seems like you're having a lot of fun with them.
Yeah, I am. I mean, they're a great bunch of guys, we travel and been in a lot of different places together. They're very experienced in what they do, they play very well, and they're just a great bunch of guys to be with, as far as playing and hanging out. I couldn't have been blessed better than to have them guys to be playing with.
So the first album came out back in 2014, right?
Yeah, I believe that was the time, yeah.
And that was I'm Still Here. So tell me about the experience of making that album.
Well, I don't know. It's kind of like I'm Still Here was the fact that being the age that I am.
Which is somewhere in your 60s, right? Somewhere in your 60s, I'm not sure.
I am 68 right now.
Oh, my goodness. Wow.
That started when I was, I'm thinking, 65. Coming out with them guys and playing what we play and stuff like that just kind of got me going with that.
Yeah, so you put that out and you had some success with that, and you guys have you toured a lot? And you also then you put out a live album after that. How much touring have you done with those two albums?
Well, we've done quite a bit, East Coast, Europe, and different things like that. With that, and the to get back to that I'm Still Here thing, the I'm Still Here thing was the fact that, I'm now playing with these guys and different things are happening. And the fact that I'm still here to do what I do is like a blessing to me. So I started singing about my experiences of where I come from over in St. Paul, doing what you would do over there and just the way life was. And so we did that, and we went to Europe. We went to East Coast. We went to the West Coast and a lot of the Midwest up in here, and things started just kind of popping off for us. We've been really blessed with the good people that are out there liking our music.
Mm-hmm. So this is kind of the biggest thing that you've ever done musically. How does that feel?
It feels really good. It's sometimes it's a little scary because you're doing something you've never done before. You learn other things that are happening, change that comes about. Now, well, are you acquainted with change, or will you adapt to the change? And so far it's been really good. I mean, we do have our ups and downs and everything, but we always seem to work things out and things work out really well. Right now it's just like a bonus in life to be able to play for people. And I think if I can make people happy with what I'm saying, I'm doing good, you know. And that's what it's all about for me, and doing something like that.
And I was reading an interview with one of your bandmates, might have been Eric again, and he was talking about how good you are at reading the room and reading the crowd. When you're up there, you know, how do you do that? How do you, is that even something you can talk about, or is it just instinctual?
I think it's kind of instinctual, you know. It's kind of like you get up on stage, you know. You know, I come out to have some fun. You know, I think people come out to have fun. They want to dance. They want to let go of whatever was bugging them that day, you know, and different things like that. And I try to give that to them, you know. If I see somebody, I'm kind of like a comedian, you know. Here's somebody to pick on for a little bit to get the show going. Maybe that's a smile or a wave or, you know, a glance or whatever it may be, just to try to get you involved with us, you know, and playing the music and things and how it works that way. And I just love to see people having fun, especially with what I'm presenting.
Can you think of any shows that were a highlight during this whirlwind that you've been going through here? You know, were any particular great audiences or moments?
Well, when we played at the Monterey Jazz Festival, that was a big audience of people. To have been on the stage that Otis Redding and Janis Joplin was on and stuff like that, it was like, wow. Barcelona, that was a huge crowd of people, you know, and Omaha as well, you know, lots of people there. And you just go out there and do what you do, you know, and you try to sing it right or play it right, you know, just belong. And if the people are enjoying it, then you know you're doing your job, you know.
Well, and I think you guys have another album in the works, is that right?
Yes, ma'am. We're going to be playing most of that tonight at the Herring Lounge, Red Herring. And it's a lot of tunes that says things about the world today and, you know, a little bit of darkness to it, you know, because everything can't be all bright and shiny, you know, in life, you know. So we kind of sing about those things there. And that's kind of like where we're coming from with that.
Well, thank you so much, Sonny. It's been a pleasure talking to you. And again, tonight the show starts at 8 o'clock at the Red Herring Lounge with Big Wave Dave and the Ripples, followed by Sonny Knight and the Lakers. Thank you so much.
Thank you, Christine. I really enjoyed that. Thank you for having me on your show.